RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
I want to welcome on to RCR Mylon Dang. Mylon is here to discuss the Gateway to New Brighton project in Christchurch and community concerns about it ahead of a Christchurch City Council vote on Wednesday, so that will be tomorrow morning. She is a concerned local citizen and parent. Mylon, welcome. Thanks for coming in on RCR this morning.
Thank you, Paul.
You want to tell us a bit about this project and why it's a problem for you and I'm taking it others. What's the problem?
So New Brighton in Christchurch is accessed by one main road called Pages Road. And Pages Road crosses over the Avon River and it takes you into New Brighton. Now, the existing bridge on Pages Road was built in 1931 and there's a five-way roundabout at that bridge which takes you to different parts of New Brighton. The bridge and Pages Road were damaged during the 2011 earthquakes. So the Gateway to New Brighton project is a development plan by Christchurch City Council to rebuild the bridge and also the surrounding streets connected to the bridge. And our concern with the new design is that the new bridge will be built slightly north of the existing bridge. And what this means is that five-way intersection will be completely redesigned. Yeah. So the existing roundabout will be removed and it'll be replaced with a pocket park.
Sorry, a what?
A pocket park. So
a pocket
park.
Which is
a bit of an excuse to fill in space, to be honest, because the west side of the Avon River where Pages Road is, there are plans to actually develop that into a big, beautiful garden. So the pocket park is really just an excuse to fill in space. Then New Brighton Road, which is the road that leads to the north of New Brighton, and Owls Terrace, which leads you to the south of New Brighton. And also these roads go around the residential areas. They don't go through residential areas. These will actually be blocked. So they won't be able to access this new bridge. And what this means is, well, firstly, to go back, the goal of the project is said to be to improve road safety and to make emergency evacuation more efficient. But they're blocking off these two roads. So we believe the changes proposed don't achieve the goal of improving road safety or making emergency evacuation more efficient. In fact, it does the very opposite. They are removing parking from local streets. For example, because they're blocking Owls Terrace, they are now rerouting the main traffic down Seaview Road and along Hardy Street, which is through residential streets. That street also is where Nova Montessori School, a local school there, have their front gate. And Nova Montessori School is accessed by 100 children, approximately 200 parents, 300 days in a year. And there are kids as young as 2.5 years crossing this street.
Right, yep.
Parents with babies getting in and out of cars, dropping off their children at school. Children come and go from the school on foot, on bikes and scooters. And they're removing half of the car parking spaces on that street. They're also removing...
Yeah, so how can that improve road safety?
I'm not sure. We have asked them.
Yeah, have they given you any credible answers? Any analysis?
There has been very limited information in the way of the reasons supporting some of these claims that they make.
Yeah, but you can't say it's to improve road safety and evacuation times or whatever without actually making a case, I wouldn't have thought.
No, and I also would have expected the panel who was hearing the consultations to ask those questions, and they haven't. They haven't asked any critical questions at all to look at the evidence, to understand how it improves safety, how it improves emergency evacuation procedures. For example, the key slogan has been that it will improve emergency evacuation by 40 minutes.
Okay, well, that's quite a claim, isn't it? That's a lot of time.
It is a lot of time, but what does it actually mean and how do they get to this 40 minutes? So we've asked them.
It sounds good. It sounds good on first hearing.
It does. It does sound good. But firstly, how did they get to this modelling? What assumptions, what variations have they made? And what does 40 minutes improvement in evacuation actually mean?
Evacuation from what?
Well, that's the other question too.
An asteroid strike?
That's a great question, Paul. And I was expecting the panel to ask these questions and they haven't asked it. We have asked it as part of our submission process. We've requested it multiple times. I haven't even seen the emergency evacuation plan. I've requested that from council. I've requested it from the design team. It hasn't been forthcoming. So what we're seeing is some redesigns that we think will not improve safety. It will be impacting the lives of many people in this community day to day for, as you have said, an emergency from what? We don't know when it will happen.
Are they trading on the earthquake still, the fear of the earthquake still?
Possibly. I mean, one of the things that they have mentioned is these plans will protect us from climate change.
Okay.
Yes, exactly.
How does that do that? By creating some sort of dome across the entire city and blocking out the sun? I mean, this kind of sounds ridiculous unless I'm missing something.
I may be missing something too, Paul. We have asked them that question and, again, not forthcoming. So the issue with this plan is there has been very little real consultation with people who are affected by it. There has been a lack of transparency, a lack of information, all of which is in breach of the council's own significance and consultation policy, significance and engagement policy. It's also, by the way, in breach of the Local Government Act regarding consultation.
Do you think they know that?
Well, if they read my submission, they would know that, yes. And yes, actually, they do, because at one meeting where the team came to visit us, when they refused to provide us with any of this information that we've requested, one of the team members said, "We are very familiar with the Local Government Act." And my response was, "Well, why are you here? Why are you even here talking to us if you're familiar with it, but you're not disclosing information to allow us to talk to you?"
A curly question. How did they handle that one?
Oh, they didn't. They just said, "Look, we've been instructed to come and talk to you about one issue and we can't give you any information about anything else." So,
a couple of curious questions. Who are the designers? Do you know?
So the designers were originally internal council staff. And that particular staff member has now left and is working in a private consultation firm, but is still working on this project. And this is one of the issues is the design team have presented a plan to council, and council have just accepted that plan without even saying to them, "Look, we've got concerns about New Brighton Road being closed. We've got concerns about Owls Terrace being closed. Can you come up with a design that facilitates leaving that open?" By the way, our mayor campaigned on one of his campaign positions was to keep New Brighton Road open.
So, yeah. So what happened to that?
Well, we'll see at the vote tomorrow, won't we?
Yeah.
But the panel has not been critical at all in this process. They haven't asked the critical questions. They haven't asked the designers to go away and find a solution that actually works and takes into consideration local input. I mean, there's a business that's been on that corner, that big intersection corner, been there for over 30 years. It's a beautiful little vintage shop. She's been a part of the community for a very long time. They're taking away all of the parking on one side of the road of her street. She's a dealer in vintage goods, so her customers are, ladies who turn up.
They need to drive. Yeah, they drive. Yeah.
They drive. They also sit in their cars while she comes out and she looks at their wares and works out whether or not she'll buy them. And if they take away all the parking, her business is going to be decimated. And this is a beautiful business, Paul, that's been here for over 30 years.
This is not a new thing we've heard. This has happened in other places. Who's on the panel then?
Well, the submissions panel or the hearings panel with three councillors, Celeste Donovan, who is the councillor for Eastern Coastal.
You don't have to name all of them, but they're councillors, are they mainly?
They are three councillors, yes.
Yeah.
They're three councillors.
And they lack curiosity, do they?
Yes. There was a lack of curiosity. I also got a sense that there was a feeling, at least amongst one councillor, that there was a feeling that they were not empowered to make any changes.
Oh, we've heard this before too. So the unelected officials of the council are playing the pipers, they're calling the tune, right?
Yes, they're calling the tune. Whatever the staffers say goes, there's no critical analysis, no critical questions. And it appears to be a little bit of a pet project for a couple of people. And, you know, when they, and I've heard this from a few people that I've spoken to who have spoken to this team as part of the, in quotation marks, consultation process, that when they ask or give feedback on the plans, the design team get very defensive. And that was our experience with them as well. So rather than...
So they don't like having their plans threatened. Touchy on that. So mapping this through. So the design team has a member who used to work or still does dabble in private sector now and council at the same time. Is that, did I pick up on that correctly?
Yes. What was part of council and then has moved into the private sector and is continuing on this project.
But he's got all, it's a he, right?
Yes.
Got all the connections that comes with that. Could we think of that as some kind of conflict of interest?
I would have thought there is some sort of conflict of interest there. It's become an ego project that is, pushed along by ego rather than taking into consideration the import of the local community. And we're talking here about the safety of children.
Yeah, how can ego override that? That's an ego out of control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Potentially?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I would have thought so. And there are interests to push this through from a political perspective as well. You know, if this gets ticked off, it's a little badge of honour for certain people ahead of elections next year.
What, and to other local communities?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Crikey. This does seem to be a pattern, though, because that's why I sort of picked up on it. Who are the designers? Who's on the panel? The answers were totally predictable to me. There's some association with someone in the design team. The panelists aren't curious. They don't ask any questions. You said that they, I can't remember the word that you said, but they were powerless. They, you know.
Empowered, yes.
Yeah, disempowered. That's it. This is a pattern.
Yes. And it's concerning. And people get tired, Paul. You know, there are people in this community who want to fight this and just have run out of energy.
What can you do? I mean, the vote, we're talking Tuesday morning here, the vote's tomorrow. Are you all out of gas on what you can do, or can it go to another level? You can just say, you know, just rack off. We're not going to let you do this. We'll block the bridge if we have to, you know, or something like that.
We are hoping it doesn't need to get to that. However, we are getting as many people, inviting as many people in the community to join us at the meeting tomorrow. You know, we'll show our discontent, show them that we're opposed to this, and really just asking council to postpone the vote on this plan and actually take a step back and listen to the community, engage in meaningful correspondence with the community, and come up with a plan that works.
You've got to justify safety. You can't just say it. You got to show it, right?
Yes.
You have to clarify this emergency evacuation improvement, evacuating from what? A tsunami? Like I say, it was crazy, but I mean, why not? Asteroid impact or another big earthquake, and good luck with that, because, you know, that rattles up every bit of infrastructure, no matter where you build it, what it is. Yeah. If those questions can't be, because that's reality, can't be honestly answered, there are no legs to stand on, surely, at all.
Yeah. So an interesting point on justifying safety. One of the points that the design team said to the panel to show how much safer this routing traffic through the main residential streets will be was they said that they have some numbering rating system.
Oh, here we go. Computer modelling.
Computer modelling and a rating system where the numbers are not exact from my recollection, but it was something like the current safety rating for Hardy Street, which is that main street, is 65 or something like that.
Yeah.
And this new design is going to improve safety to 115. Oh. And the panellists were, oh, my God, wow, that's amazing.
Oh, crikey, that's so cringeworthy.
And so I approached that person after the meeting and I said, what is this rating system? What criteria do you take into account to give it a rating? And he said, I don't know. So what does an improvement, yes, what does an improvement of 40 points in safety actually mean in practice? Oh, I don't know. It's just a system that we use and we give it numbers.
This is so loose.
So it's just a marketing tool.
Yeah, of course it is. And if people can't see through it, though, what's wrong with them?
Yes.
Would there, by any chance, be a cycle way involved here?
There are a number of cycle ways, and that's one of the reasons why many of the parking spaces are being removed.
I knew you'd say that. Oh, dear.
Here we have go a crystal again. Ball.
Well, no, we've been through this with quite a few local areas who are facing this. New Plymouth was one. They're going to take out 300 car parks to put their cycle way in. Tapuki was going to have right in front of the, or the way the road design worked, it would have adversely affected safety. Their local high school would have had cars almost redirected into the traffic path of kids coming out of the school. Who else have we had? Somewhere up in Tasman near Nelson, they had the same thing go. It's cookie cutter is what I'm saying.
I have no objection to people cycling and encouraging safe cycling, Paul, but the majority of the residents around who drive. At the end of the day, they drive.
Yeah, well, that's the reality. Yeah.
And their subsistence and their existence is based on cars and the use of cars. And I don't know what's going to happen to safety when parking spaces are removed. You're going to have children, you know, and parents juggling children to cross a main street, a main arterial.
Who takes responsibility for the kid who gets bowled?
Well, that was a question that we asked them. What happens if, you know, these cars go around that corner and slam into the school right on that corner where children's house is, and there are kids as young as 2.5 in there. And they said, no one will be responsible. Actually, that's not true. The parents and the school will be responsible for the rest of their lives. They will bear that burden.
It seems like everything's so easily sort of battered away. You know, well, this safety rating 150 or whatever it is. We don't know what that means, but it sounds good.
The lack of critical questioning of these things has been very surprising, or maybe not.
Do you think there's any chance of a pause in that vote?
I hope so, Paul. I hope there will be enough people sitting on council on Wednesday who step back and say, let's go back to the drawing board and see if we can design this new bridge and the intersection in a way that really will facilitate and take into consideration local needs and uses of that space. And that makes sense day to day, because these people will use the space 365 days a year. And who knows when this emergency will be needed.
And take your pocket park and stick it where?
Exactly.
I don't know where.
Yeah,
they probably thought that was a great, you know, a great sell job on the pocket park. Oh, we'll get a pocket park.
Yes, of course. And, of course, our rates are increasing to fund this pocket park. And
yeah, of course.
Remember that.
You have put it so well, Mylin. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Paul.
And good luck. Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Join the rest of everybody. Join the queue on people battling these absurdities. That's my view.
Yeah, we need to find a way, don't we? A better way.
Yeah. And that's Mylin Dang, who is a concerned local citizen and parent. We were talking about the Gateway to New Brighton project in Christchurch and the obvious community concerns about it. It's ahead of a vote, which may or may not take place. We don't know yet, tomorrow morning. Mylin, we'll keep an eye on this and see what happens, okay?
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate your time.
Right now, free speech is under heavy attack in New Zealand and overseas, with governments constantly devising new ways to enforce censorship. To make sure you never miss the critical news and breaking stories you rely on, join the RCR mailing list today. Get connected now at realitycheck.radio/email.